It's a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next couple of hours or so. A little bit later on, we are going to be talking about Tent City. Of course, as you noticed over the weekend, while we were all enjoying the festivities for St. Patrick's Day, all those men, up to about 200 of them, were asked to leave Mount Street, wrap up their tents. Well, their tents were taken away by Dublin City Council, put on a bus, and they all thought they were heading off to sunnier climes in Wicklow, where they thought they would be given permanent accommodation of some description, where in fact they were just offered more tents and ground mats to sleep on. But according to the Taoiseach, it was for health and safety reasons, and after all, they would have running water and showers there. Men weren't happy. Men decided, we're not staying here. They packed up their bags, jumped back out over the fence and started to walk back to Dublin. And I believe they're now back in Mount Street again. Now, a lot of people are saying, hold on for a second. We do have a problem with immigration, this reckless policy by the government. But, you know, we do feel sorry for people being put in these inhumane situations. We want to know a little bit later on how you feel about that. But first, on the show today, the draft leaving cert, and I'm reading this, by the way, from Gripped Media. If you want to go on to Gripped Media, you can get the full story. But a draft leaving cert specification on climate action would see students taught how to effectively organise around climate issues and study the tactics of activists, including direct action, civil disobedience and more, according to Gripped Media. The proposed plan, which is currently out for public consultation, which was drafted by the National Council for Curriculum, the NCCA, and is entitled Draft Leaving Certificate Climate Action and Sustainable Development Specification. And the consultation period, by the way, if you want to get involved, it opens on the 2nd of February and closes on April the 5th. According to the document, the module's purpose is to teach students to respond to sustainability challenges, including the climate crisis. And basically, how to boycott, how to lobby, how to study the tactics of activists. In other words, you know this lot over in the UK, the Just Stop Oil people who lie on roads and things like that and throw soup on paintings. Well, how to be one of those people. And, you know, and why you would want to be one of those people. And they want to teach this for the Leaving Cert in school. Now, some people think this is a great idea. We should be teaching students how to protest against things they're not happy about and have policies that should be implemented by government. But then again, other people, such as TD Michael Fitzmaurice from Independent Ireland, have said this is nothing more than indoctrination and rubbish. And he joins me on the line. And I want to get your calls, by the way. The number, as usual, 085 122 55. 085 122 55. Do you think this is indoctrination? Or is it preparing children for the future and fighting for climate change policy? Michael Fitzmaurice, TD, joins me on the line. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you doing?
Good, Michael. I mean, very interesting times we're in. There is no doubt. We just got rid of one indoctrination, or we're slowly getting rid of it, which is religion in schools. And now you believe we're moving into another type of indoctrination.
Yeah, well, if you read this proposed document or what's out for consultation, by all means, people are right to protest. But when they talk about the climate, they're basically talking to students, and it's rather unusual that the state would be promoting civil disobedience, which is basically breaking the law. And we've seen incidents, as you've rightly pointed out, in the UK, where people have gone in on private property and done X, Y, and Z, which isn't the ideal way of solving things. On top of that, the big fear that I have is that you know, there's kids coming home from schools at the moment saying, Mammy or Daddy, the world is going to end and we need to eat less meat and we need to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, fear doesn't solve anything, or scaremongering doesn't, like, you look at any other department or any other walk of life, you don't go down that road. It also, if you read the document in full, it talks actually, and it's frightening in my opinion, where it talks about if an economy is going well, if you have to actually slow it down or pull it up in the name of climate, you should do that. And of course, as per usual, the agricultural sector gets a special mention.
Well, you're the enemy. You're the enemy, aren't you?
And oh yeah, well, like, people don't think they need to eat at all. They don't need dairy or meat. The agricultural sector gets a mention, and it talks about, you know, the world. That if we don't do X, Y, and Z, the world could be coming to an end in the line of weather, environment, and all of this. And, like, you know, we all know people that are basically heroes to the people in the climate agenda,
You spoke to one of them on the radio during the week. I found that interview quite entertaining, to be honest with you.
Even people that would be even better known that tweeted in 2018 that the world was going to end in 2023, and the tweet had to be taken down because
you're talking about Greta Thunberg, which talked about the ice caps melting.
Obviously, their Christmases didn't come, and the talk about, you know, making idols out of the likes of those people.
But what do you say to people who will turn around and say, listening to you on News Talk the other day, or listening to you here today, or, you know, listening to you talking about this, oh, there's Michael Fitzmaurice, he's clearly a climate denier. And this is the words they will use to silence you. It's like, I suppose, when we talk about immigration, as soon as you raise any issue or debate, somebody's going to say he's a right-wing extremist, or he's a climate denier. I mean, what do you think of people who will use that and say to you, well, look, it's important that kids learn about these things in school?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not a climate denier. I climate changes, that's easy, right? So I don't deny that. That's the first thing. The second thing is I deal with the facts of what's there. But is the answer, and this is the question, and the people have to think to themselves, is the answer frightening the daylights out of children within in schools that they are actually come home? When they go to school, they're supposed to enjoy it. Not come home basically frightened out of their skins that basically the world is going to end.
But the climate people, the activists will tell you this is the only way to get policy, the only way to get a government on target for net zero for 2050, which I think is a ridiculous fantasy,
agenda,
by the way.
In any agenda.
To create fear. That's what we should, that we did that during COVID, create fear. Isn't that the way it works?
In any agenda, if you create fear, it is not, especially to kids, vulnerable children. Like, you don't do this to kids.
They're leaving CERT students, Michael. I mean, they'd be 16.
But wait one second. There's also a national school one as well. Do you understand me? Didn't just 17 or 16 or 17 or 18 year olds. They're basically, in my opinion, being brainwashed at a young age, and that's not the way you do education. You give them the options of making their own decision. Critical thinking is very important. Mm-hmm. Children need to be able to decide for themselves, but you don't put them in a situation that you put the fear of God in them. Sure, like if we start down that road, if we say, well, if you go on an airplane, it's going to fall from the sky. Is that what we should say? Or if you go out on the road driving a car, you're going to be killed in an accident.
Yeah, but they'll argue that, okay, if you're going out on the road, you're driving a car, you know, there could be an accident. But what we do is we teach people to drive properly. We tell them to wear seatbelts. We tell them not to drink and drive or speed. That we do put things in place, and we teach them those things at a very young age. And they do want to bring that into schools.
Yeah, but we don't teach them through fear. That's the one difference in all of this. We don't teach them that they're going home, basically at night, telling their fathers or mothers, when they're going to bed, about the world ending, about eating less meat, and the father or mother trying to get them to eat a balanced diet in veg and in basically all the different products to make sure that their children has a balanced diet. And when they're adults, they can decide for themselves. The parents are doing their best. But if you have someone frightening the daylight out of these children, it's not the way to go. It's not the way to go in education for us as a nation. We give the options to people. We don't put it in the alarmist fashion it's being put, and we make sure that they're basically happy going to school or happy coming home, instead of deciding with them that the best way now is to basically put them frightened into this.
Should we be all leading by example? Because realistically, I mean, a lot of people have said to me in relation to the Irish farmers, and I know you're involved in the agricultural sector yourself, Michael, but a lot of people have said to me that Irish farmers are basically just being bought out by the government currently at the moment. That a lot of the things that they're being asked to do, they shouldn't be doing, i.e. culling their cattle, for example, that they shouldn't be doing, that other farmers around the world are protesting against this, but the Irish farmers are just accepting it because they're being paid off.
Well, the biggest problem is, Niall, down the road years ago, for people to be able to afford food, and in fairness, rightly so, people that have no relationship with the agricultural sector, but people maybe living in cities that maybe, you know, that their standard, that you try and make food as affordable as possible to all people. And, you know, in fairness, I think anyone would agree with that. And that's where they brought in the likes of the cap payments and all of that. But what they have done then, it's like writing the first few pages of the story, but they have added to this story. They have started putting different conditions on it, and it's putting farmers down a tough road at the moment.
So where are the farmers, Michael? Where are they then? Why aren't we seeing them? I mean, we've seen some small protests, but nothing major. Why are we not seeing them? Because the government have promised them these payments to keep them quiet for the moment. But, you know, farmers are not stupid. They know in years to come those payments will disappear. And unless you're going to start, you know, having farms with mealworms and insects on them, you know, in the future, this is maybe 20 years down the road, you know, your career will be down the toilet.
You and I know that in a lot of cases in protest, the biggest problem for farmers is, at the moment, this time of year, they're calf and cows. They are constantly working on their land, trying to survive. And you and I know that that's the difficulty, because if you keep people controlled at what they're at, they don't have time for protest. That's the unfortunate part of this.
But then, then you're not thinking of the future. Because we're just thinking of the now. Aren't we?
It is my opinion that if you look at the vote a week or two ago, the people of Ireland gave a decision that they didn't agree with what was being foisted upon them.
I think it was more they just didn't agree with the government.
Well, maybe and maybe not.
I think if the government turned around and said that we're going to give everyone an extra 2 weeks holidays tomorrow, I think the people would disagree with it. At this stage, people don't trust the government. We've lost democracy.
I honestly give people credit as well for what they read. But in my opinion, come next June in the council and the European elections, the farmers and indeed not alone them, but a lot of people... The old saying was, Niall, that the pin is mightier than the sword, that the Germans found that out. Well, I think that the pin will be mightier than any other thing in the next few months when we look at what will happen, because people are sick and tired of all this stuff being foisted upon them in the name of basically moving forward. If we don't have farmers, we don't have food. Do we want to be bringing it across the world from Brazil? Do we think that people will just tomorrow stop eating meat? Let these people get real in the world they live in, and let them understand, these bureaucrats and civil servants that's writing up this damnable stuff, let them understand that you need a balanced diet, that you don't frighten people, that you don't actually pull back an economy if it's going forward. That's what every government should be doing, driving an economy forward, creating more jobs, not what's written in this document of basically pulling it back in the name of if it's going to be any harm to the climate. Like, we've got to be start living in the real world and a bit of common sense of what's going on.
Well, that's what people are looking for. I know that's the reason for yourself and Richard Donoghue and Michael Collins have formed this new party, of course, Independent Ireland. I know you're now putting candidates for the local elections in all of the major areas across Dublin for people who are interested. And I think there's obviously a benefit rather than voting for an independent, which, by the way, I encourage people to do as well, because people want to change. But, I mean, I suppose people might say, just very quickly, Michael, what are you promising people? Elections are only around the corner. What are you promising people as a new party, you know, that the other parties can't offer them?
Well, first of all, the reason, and I want to be clear on this, and I'm not saying anything against independence, but the reason I've gone into the party Independent Ireland is that, you know, I've been independent for a number of years. There's a lot of stuff you can do, what I would call league football, I'd put it that way to you. But if you want to make change or try and bring a bit of common sense back into the whole agenda that's going on at the moment, you've got to get in where the piano is playing. And that's the reason why we have gone together as TDs. That Michael Fitzmaurice could run forever as an independent, but at the end of the day, your chances of getting into government would be slim to nothing. What we have done, we've sat down, and I invite people to basically look at our documents, what's on the website, and look at our common sense way of going forward, not this highfalutin. I'll give you the example. A week ago, or 10 days ago, the RSA brought out a rule that you need your lorry license to drive a tractor. Now, they had to pull back in it. For the simple reason, you don't get a lorry license to drive a tractor, because if you get a lorry license, you go off and you drive a lorry. And some people are making decisions. that's infuriating and causing problems to people right around this country. We need to get back to basics and get back to reality of what we're about. And I think that our party will offer that to people more than... And the one thing we will do is we won't say one thing and mean the other. It will be either black and white. It's either what we have or what we haven't. And I believe that there's an alternative choice there. And people have said down through the last few years, the last words to people that people say to me everywhere around the country that I'm talking to, they say, Michael, sure, we've no one to vote for. Well, we're giving them that opportunity now, and let's see, will they take it?
Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent Ireland TD. Listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on talking to us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Okay, we want to get your calls as well, by the way. The number, as usual, 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. Okay, let's not confuse the issue too much. We talked about a lot there, but the main thing we're going to talk about is that as part of the new draft Leaving Cert specification on climate action, the department, or the department responsible, the National Council for Curriculum, the NCCA, have a new draft entitlement called the Draft Leaving Certificate Climate Action Sustainability Development Specification, which basically means they're going to teach students in secondary school for the moment, although there is a plan to do it in primary school, as you heard Michael mention as well, how to boycott, how to politically lobby, tactics for to be an activist, civil disobedience, direct action, and much more when it comes to climate change. Now, we have seen how effective that's been in the UK with people lying on roads and all sorts of things. But I want to ask you, is this a good idea? They say it is because climate change is one of the biggest issues they say that will affect young people's futures. Whereas other people will say, well, hold on for a second. No, I don't believe that human beings are responsible for climate change. And I don't want my kid learning that the world is going to end in 3 years. And Michael was right. That gobshite, Greta Thunberg, of course, going back 5 years ago, turned around and told us all the polar ice caps would be melted in 5 years. She since deleted those tweets because it didn't actually happen. Just like for the last 100 years, we've been at doomsayers in the world, just like the Green Party, who've been telling us the world is going to end, and it never actually happened. So there's always going to be doomsayers. Years ago, they used to walk around the streets wearing a sandwich board saying, the end is nigh. Nowadays, they just say, I'm Eamon Ryan, I'm with the Green Party. So I want to know what you think, by the way. Do you think it's right to be teaching children in school that the world's going to end and you better be an activist and you better, you know, lobby your government for climate policy? Is that education? They say it is. Or is that indoctrination, as Michael Fitzmaurice says? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. Stuart, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Niall?
Good. Stuart, is it education or indoctrination?
Depends on who you're talking to, but to me it's indoctrination.
Okay.
If you were discussing this with an academic from our main universities, they would say it's education through a certain lens. This lens is throughout all changes in our education system. This isn't just isolated to this very subject, which is more of a cherry on top. The education system has been restructured over the past decade in order to prepare students in younger age groups for this course. This course isn't just isolated to climate action. If you read the document carefully, it's completely around social justice issues. It's not just climate action, but it involves migration, open borders, women's rights, LGBT rights, and how climate is linked to that. We already saw Leo Varadkar stating that the reason we have migrants coming to Ireland is because of climate change and not economics. Now,
that's now being added, by the way, with the Immigration Pact, yeah, which is to be signed by Ireland in the next couple of years. Climate change is to be added now as one of the criteria or reasons why people can claim asylum.
Yeah. And with that, this isn't just been implemented at Leaving Cert level. I'd like to critique what you said to Michael Fitzmaurice, who's doing a great job of highlighting this issue. This is already in the junior cycle. This is already implemented in the junior cycle. All this activism, lobbying, is already there. And it will be put into the primary school cycle as well. It already exists in English and CSPE and SPHE. Now, we but all it,
but,
got
but sorry,
caught up...
Sorry, Stuart, for interrupting you, but do you believe it's important for a secondary school student, I forget about primary for the moment, because I agree with all of you that you know this idea of fear-mongering a seven-year-old to come home to mommy and daddy and say the world's going to end is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but when we talk about, you know, older children, or young adults, as they're called,
I mean,
as part of geography, you know, when I was a kid, you'd learn about volcanoes and hurricanes and tornadoes and all those kind of things.
And meteorology.
Is it important that they learn about climate change in general? Not about who's responsible for it, but...
I think they should learn the scientific element of what's involved in meteorology, geology, and all those subjects, and are allowed to then piece it all together. But this has not been taught from a scientific perspective. Now, we often hear the IPCC states, the IPCC states, okay? That's off the talking point often used by activists, academics, activists on RTE, media, journalists, etc. And they quote the 97% figure as an absolute, all scientists agree.
That's a nonsense figure. I'm well aware of that.
Yes, it's a nonsense figure. It's from a research paper conducted based on a quarter of all research papers which looked at the actual
research papers that were funded by the state, by the way, because I can tell you now, if you want to bring out a research paper that denies, or if you want to bring out a research paper that says human beings are not responsible for climate change, you won't be funded. So
Yes, exactly. And it was replicated again, and it was 98% of one-third of all papers, but they neglect that, and they use that figure to justify any statement, and it's largely not accurate. But the IPCC report is broken into several sections, and most students are not being taught that, and most people aren't aware of that. That there's a hard science element, then there's a social science element, there's economic elements. Now, the hard science elements do rarely correlate with the economic and the social science element. The social science element is driven by politics, by political will, activism, and that's the element that is most commonly repeated to us by all journalists, by all politicians. The synopsis for dummies is where our politicians get their understanding of the IPCC report, while the scientific element is much more calm. It doesn't use terms crisis. Those terms were not invented by scientists. They were invented by social scientists. Scientists in inverted commas, sociologists and activists, and journalists to hijack people's emotions. And what is happening in the education system now is they're actively hijacking a very vulnerable period of a teenager's life where they're looking for social acceptance. They're going through teenage angst. They're also looking for an identity. And that's when we develop our identity. And they're giving them a ready-made rebellion to start, taking advantage of that part of your development to use it as a weapon against people. Now, okay,
hang on, just do me a favor. You can read it in a second, Stuart, because I just have to take a quick break. I have to go to Joe and John as well. But stay with me, Stu, for a second. Stu doesn't agree with it. He thinks it's wrong. He thinks it is indoctrination. And he thinks they're taking advantage of children and the fears of children when they're quite young. And not only the fears of children, but that idea that at 16 years of age, students could be quite rebellious anyway and taking advantage of that rebellion and that virtuosity. And in other words, that hollow idea of virtue signaling at a young age. And we often see that, by the way, when we see protests. It usually is the kind of student types with the purple hair or whatever it happens to be. And he believes they're taking advantage of that socially. Let me know what you think. The number is 085-122-255. If we'll take a quick break.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast. The Niall Boylan Podcast.
Let me just go to Joe as well. Joe, the real question is, do you really think teenagers give a shit about climate change, the majority of them?
Good afternoon, Niall. I think the most of the teenagers don't give two fiddlers about what's going on. I think a lot of them... there's an agenda. Look, Niall, we all know, and you know better than myself or anyone else, there's an agenda going on here. This is being driven by... the woke MGO class, the middle class brigade, and the certain media types like RT and all them. Like, if you look at, like, you see their last...
News Talk are a bit obsessed with it, by the way, can I just point out? Yeah, they're a bit obsessed with it as well.
Yeah, because I don't agree with the way people are being bullied into believing all this nonsense. Like, you see there with the carry-on there with RT, they had programs on there last year talking about climate change and all this stuff and about the end of the world. And
that was Paul Little's fantasy show. Yeah, exactly.
And the money that the taxpayer had to fork out for that rubbish was unbelievable. I tell you now, Niall, I don't believe, look, we all believe, look, that the world is changing. It changes every 50, 60 years anyway. But do we need the likes of these clowns to be bullying people into believing their own little fantasy? I don't think so. I certainly don't believe, I certainly won't be dictated to by any
you see, they're saying they need to educate children about climate change so that if future governments are not doing anything about it or are not, you know, invoking policies, that, you know, the children should be taught, you know, how to stand up, how to lobby, how to get involved in direct action or civil disobedience. And, you know, as Stu is right, by the way, it's not just about climate change. By the way, I do believe that, not civil disobedience, but direct action and lobbying and the eccentric tactics to be used, I do think they're important things for children to learn, generally speaking. But I need
it's important for children to learn issues that are going on. But I don't think it's important for children to be brainwashed into believing something that is not as bad as what people are saying. These are all the same organizations that have been going around for years trying to get people to change their own lifestyle. You know, telling people like to give up this, give up that. Do as I say, do as I don't, or whatever the whole...
Do as I say and not as I do, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And these are the same people who, as well, during the COVID years, were terrorizing people who weren't vaccinated, that if you didn't adhere to the laws, we'll come down, we'll bar you from society in general, you know? So it's... I think a lot of children are fairly educated nowadays. I think sometimes they're too educated for their liking. But I also think that there's no need for children to be brainwashed, because that's a very dangerous cycle you go down.
So you think this is indoctrination, Joe? Yeah.
Oh, it is total indoctrination, Niall. Of course it is, and it's not going to end. This is not going to end unless somebody cries stop. And the problem is, who's going to do that? Because, you see, we could all start saying it ourselves. But the problem is, if we start going out and start criticizing anybody now, we're classed as fucking nutcases, like far right.
But I do think there's a change happening in the world. And I think the next elections, particularly the European elections this year, I think we're going to see a big change. I don't know whether Stu agrees with me in that. We're seeing now across the world a lot of centre-right parties now being voted in.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be very interesting this year to see the MEPs that are voted in. I think a lot of the kind of right-wing or centre-right MPs will be voted into Europe. And you got to remember that when it comes to legislation in this country, 75% of the laws that we have in this country, or a little over 70% of the laws, come from Europe. So everything comes from Europe. So that's really where we have to be.
And I also
Stu, go ahead.
Could I interject there to a point that Joe just made? The point I was going to read there is actually supports Joe's point about, you know, people being targeted unfairly by, you know, as crackpots, et cetera, et cetera, conspiracy theorists or whatever, deniers, et cetera. In the document states here, the issues and concepts students explore in this subject help develop their values and dispositions. Firstly, values and dispositions. Isn't that the role of the family and the parents and not the education system? The government don't get to impose their values and dispositions on Irish children. Informing how they, as reasonable global citizens, and that's another buzzword, global citizens, that doesn't mean Irish citizen, that means nothing, will act in the world. And a very important part to understand here is they're going to target people. The experience and powerful impact of collective action and develop their capacity to positively influence change in their communities and beyond. as the spread of disinformation, unsustainable behavior, what does that mean, and prejudice threatens democracies worldwide. That sounds like it came out of the mouth of Joe Biden or one of his lot. Students learn the importance of evidence-informed decision-making, knowledge, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they say, in the face of environmental uncertainty, at one point it states that they will be able to use this to target individuals and groups who go against climate action.
In other words, people like you.
Yes.
Like yeah, they can target and harass you. But do me a favor, stay there, Stu. Stay with me. Let me go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
Mm-hmm. How's it going? I think that there's a big difference between, I know you opened the segment there, and you said we got rid of one indoctrination, that's religion right now, last time we looked.
No, we didn't get rid of it. It's still kind of, well, it's slowly moving out of schools, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still there, like, and the patronages are there by the Catholic Church, and people still send their children to Catholic schools. So I wouldn't be making a comparison there. Now, as regards to global warming, look, we know we all have to be responsible to the climate. We know that. We don't go burning rubbish out in the back, plastic bottles and all that. Right.
Well, that's that's more about the environment than climate change.
Well, it all adds up. The fellow burning one plastic bottle, like, you mean, if everyone in the world burned one plastic bottle, I mean, that would make a big difference. No, the thing is that we're being lectured by the likes of von der Leyen, who's going up for the presidency of the EU again, and that other Colin Maggot's big enough to stay, and we need Joe Ursula Varadkar.
By the way, did you hear the latest, by the way? All the European candidates that want to run as an MEP this year will have to give a declaration as to whether they're going to vote for Ursula von der Leyen in the next election before they actually are successful candidates.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, if they call
blackmail.
That a democratic, if they call that a democratic system, I mean, where all
I know what I tell
them
to do,
to be
piss
made.
Off, I tell her.
Exactly, but I mean, yeah. that woman wasn't even wanted in her own country, like, I mean, her own country, you know, is contributing to global warming because they are sending munitions over to Ukraine. So she's a hypocrite.
Okay, but getting back, so do you think it's important that students learn how to, and not just in relation to climate change, although this document seems to be heavily weighed in favour or in relation to climate change, but about, you know, lobbying, direct action, civil disobedience, you know, being an activist?
Well, I was just going to make that point. The whole thing is that it should be both sides of the climate. I mean, the climate, people are called climate deniers and whatever. If you have an alternative view, it should be heard and encouraged within the educational system. You should also be taught about social politics, social justice, right across the board, how to question everything, how to...
But kids are not taught that nowadays. Kids aren't taught critical thinking anymore. Kids are told this is the story, this is the narrative, and this is the one you must run with. You know, when it comes to climate change or indeed anything now.
Yeah, but you should be taught to be a proper activist, like, you mean, how to do, like, and if it means standing outside your local constituency, TD's office, whatever, so be it. If you to stop them in the street and question them and be forceful in the questioning, not physically or anything like that.
But John, can I ask you a question? We didn't have to teach kids it years ago and they knew how to do it. Why do we suddenly have to teach them how to do these things? John, you're an activist, you're a protester, you're a lobbyer, you're all of these things, all right?
On a regular basis,
and you're quite proud of that fact. I mean, did anyone teach you in school how to do it? No, you just did it.
No.
So why do we need to teach them?
But unfortunately, there's not enough of us out there doing it. And we see what happened there 2 Fridays ago now with the ridiculous referendums, how the people actually were being totally taken for granted by this traitorous government that we have, right? And they sat up and they said, we are not stupid. We see right through these 2 referendums.
Can I just say on that note, you are right, and I'm going to be discussing something else a little bit later on. When it comes to the current government and all the other arseholes that are out there, I suppose, in political parties in this country, most of them, not all of them, ain't you? And Independent Ireland, of course, exceptions to the rule, and one or two of the smaller parties as well. But I mean, when it comes to Sinn Féin, Labour, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, the Green Party, all the main parties, they're all arseholes, every single one of them. They all turned against you. I'm talking to everybody here now. They all turned against you. They all took you for granted. They all thought you were fools. But you showed them, well done, over 70% of the population put their fingers up to the government and said, no, you're wrong. You're a bunch of idiots. And they're still not listening. And they're all doing U-turns now, every single one of them.
Yeah.
They're all out now pretending they agreed with the people, talking shite. Don't believe any of them. They will misinform you, deceive you, lie to them. They're no different to Charlie Haughey in the past. The only difference was Charlie Haughey and all those other corrupt politicians of the past with the nod and wink politicians with the brown envelopes, they cared if they got caught. That was the only difference. This lot don't care if they get caught because they'll all back each other up.
I think this called out the worst seven. I'll tell you why.
Without a shadow, it's the worst government we've ever had.
It just goes to show when they put this whole thing about the durable relationship, like about taking the woman and the mother and the protection of women and the woman and everything. Like, they took the people for complete fools. They took them for granted, and the electorate saw right through it. And please, I would implore people out there now, do not press the snooze button now. Keep it going, you know.
Look what they're saying. Look what the current government are saying. Oh, the people were confused. They didn't understand it. We didn't use the right words. No, people knew what it was. They just didn't want it. Shut up, lads. You're not going to be in government again anyway. I implore people, don't vote for these arseholes again. And that includes Sinn Féin, the whole lot of them, because they all turn their back on you. They're no different. Sinn Féin are a cheek of the same arse. Don't vote for them. Yeah. You've got lots of great independents out there. You've got AIM2. By the way, one of the AIM2 and Independent Ireland, two of the only parties that told you to vote no. Have a look at these guys. Have a look at, you know, if you really want to vote for the Irish Freedom Party, for example, whatever. There's loads of new parties out there. Have a look at them, see if they represent your values, and vote for them. Don't vote for the incumbent because they're arseholes.
Can I just get one more piece in there? And it just shows to show, like, I mean, the bitterness and the twistedness of the Micheál Martins of this world there, right? I mean, and the peeviness, right? This is a word you wouldn't hear much now. Outside the Nemo Rangers there, where the count is going on in Cork and the GA football club, Pascal Sheehy was interviewing Micheál Martin, and the AIM2 members were in the back who had won the day and stood with the people of this country, right? Micheál Martin saw that the camera angle was bringing them in the background, and he stopped the interview and made the cameraman face the way the AIM2 members who won the day for the Irish people weren't in the background. How fucking petty can you get?
Doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Actually, just stay there for a second, John. I want to go to Stephen. Sorry, I have a load of people to get to. Newell, I'll be with you in a second, 2 minutes. Stephen, hi, how are you?
I'm not so bad. Bloody wet and windy down here in Cork.
Climate change. Ask Greta Thunberg. She'll have all the answers for you.
I think everybody in the world knows the climate is changing. If they're going to teach it, it has to be both sides of the argument, pure facts, not speculation, not the crap that comes out of the Green Party in Ireland and all of this.
More ourselves.
It's absolute nonsense. Yeah. That is indoctrination. Now, teaching, I've never had any problem since I was 10 or 12 or 14 years old expressing my views and going and protesting. Never. I didn't need to be taught it. And teaching it, where does it stop? Because if they say, and listening to that document, that they're going to target individuals. So if they target, say, Dunn Stores, could they then not just say, right, we're going to target all the workers or individual workers at their home in Dunn Stores, for example? You know, once you start teaching civil disobedience, it's going to mushroom, and we're going to be complaining about everything. And in reality, will these people target, importers not of meat, but of carrots, peas? Because actually, the imports, they're creating a carbon footprint across the world. So, if they're going to be doing anything, it's teaching the people and the children and in all of Ireland, make Ireland sustainable, to look after itself. It doesn't need to have peppers brought in from Spain or wherever. If they're not here,
I wouldn't know much about peppers personally. Can we grow peppers in Ireland? Can you grow? I'm sure you can in greenhouses.
You probably can. Yeah. But again, you're putting them in. But
this is a European problem, Stephen. The problem with us growing more grain or growing more wheat or growing peppers, for example, or even oranges if we want to do it in a greenhouse, The problem is that the European Union don't allow farmers to do it. And they, I mean, you know that as well as I do, you see fields empty all over the place. That's because farmers are being paid to leave those fields empty to make it fair to other farmers across Europe. So as long as we're part of the European Union, we're never going to be sustainable. We're never going to be able to produce all our own food.
Well, actually, at the minute where I live, I have seen maybe 70 or 80 acres of scrubland all been dug, drains put in, because the EU says it all has to be usable land. So they're getting rid of natural habitat. Complete habitats are disappearing. I've just been down a road there, and there was over 300 trees cut down at the side of the road because they were deemed dangerous to traffic, cyclists, pedestrians. You know, these are all EU rules, and there has to be a common sense, which I don't think one Irish politician really has got too much common sense, because all they're doing is thinking about, well, in 20 years' time, I'll be in Europe.
I'll have a nice pension.
I fully believe that's where, like,
of course,
at the top now.
I'm telling you now, Leo is working his way in there because he wants to be the chairperson of the EU in the next EU Parliament the next time around. That's what he's working towards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he knows his days are numbered here in Ireland. Because I can tell you now, Leo Varadkar is not that popular in this country, contrary to popular belief. I mean, he barely scraped in the last election, only on the fifth count. He isn't that popular in his own area. I mean, at some point he did have reasonably conservative views, but they all seem to change. Leo Varadkar will struggle to get elected in the next election, I believe.
I think Micheál Martin is in real trouble now, because he's sort of turned against his voting base as well.
He doesn't even believe Ireland is a sovereign country, but there you go. You know,
the one that actually got me, and I'm sorry to digress, was that St. Patrick was an immigrant.
Yeah, that was
he,
what Leo
he
said.
He was
yeah.
a slave. He didn't even look up his own history. Kidnapped by the Irish. So in reality, he was people trafficked.
It was hardly, by the way, it was a ridiculous analogy to use in comparison to today's immigration and refugee situation. It was a stupid thing to say. But I mean, it just goes to show you how desperate they are, doesn't it, these politicians? Again, I'm going to say it nice and loud. They're all a bunch of arseholes. Don't vote for any of them.
I won't be.
Yeah. But anyway, right, getting back to this, so you don't believe it's important to teach children in schools, you know, how to protest, how to get involved in civil disobedience, direct action and lobbying against climate policy or the government if they don't implement climate policy?
If they're going to do it, the people have to know when it becomes completely illegal, irrational. You know, these climate action people throwing paint over paintings and soup and tearing, that is not action.
Yeah, you're right.
That is vandalism.
They should go to jail.
Vandalism.
Yeah, they should go to jail.
And I don't think teaching young people at that age. And we've seen the liberal society. Is Ireland safer? No, it's not safer because of the liberal society and the way things have gone. But if we do keep that up, we are going to have a society that is just going to be, someday the government will snap and we'll have soldiers on the street, and it'll be like China or North Korea, and they'll say, right, we're having no more. You lot are all off to jail.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you very much indeed for that, Stephen. Nuala and Jackie, I'll be with you now in 2 seconds.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast, the Niall Boylan Podcast.
Yeah, I'm just looking through your comments online as well. Mike Savage says, purely indoctrination, nothing more. The Gimlet says on X, I'm already teaching mine government corruption. I'll just unravel whatever the teacher tells them on this subject. And Jean says, by the way, disgusting brainwashing. And there is no discussion of the opposing views and facts and cherry-picked to support their own theories. Let me go to Nuala, and then I'm going to come to Jackie as well, who's waiting to talk to me. Jackie, or Nuala, hi, how are you?
How yeah, good. Oh, good.
Good.
Like, say, my sister now in Canada, like, it was her daughter that, you know, was teaching her as she went to go to school how to separate the rubbish and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
all that kind of thing.
Recycling and keeping the environment
recycling,
safe.
Recycling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in Denmark, they use household rubbish because it's so expensive to segregate, that they use it to heat about 40 accommodation units in 40,000 accommodation units in Copenhagen. You know, so that's the way to go. Like, use your stuff to do something.
How are they doing? Are they burning it?
Yeah. They incinerate it.
I don't think the Green Party
of Copenhagen.
The Green Party would.
I know. You see, you can't have things both ways. Yeah. You know, you have to. And we
remember when I was a kid. When I was a kid, hardly anything ever went in the bin. Everything went into the fire. we'd have one black bag of rubbish to put out each week because everything else went into the fire. We just burned everything, didn't we, to keep the house warm?
You see, you have to be realistic. Like, at one time, I was out in Roundstone, and we had a garden. You know, like a garden where you grew vegetables, and like in the end, it didn't pay to grow potatoes because you could buy them cheaper, and you could make more money doing something in the workshop than you could do growing vegetables in the garden. So a lot of it is, you know, if we have a very kind of affluent society where most people can now go to college, it's built on maybe the Industrial Revolution or all the multinationals and all the rest.
Is it important that they learn about in school, for the Leaving Cert and Junior Cert, for example, that they learn about climate change and learn how to lobby the government if they don't do enough about it?
Well, you see, it's a lot more complex than that, because say you have India with a population of 1.5 billion nearly, and you have 340-something million cars, you know. And we are only 4 million people. We do what we can do.
It's growing, yeah.
And you should do what you can do. You should kind of look after your rubbish in a very safe way, you know, so that it's...
Common sense approach,
these things, and you should be taught how to do them and how to buy in a very
I don't disagree with that, and I think that's all part of geography and economics and school and whatever. But you're right. You know, sorting out your rubbish and making sure that, you know, your recyclables go in the right place, etc. That's all good for the environment. But climate change and the environment are two separate things to some degree. Climate change now is based on this kind of theory that we as human beings, by eating meat, for example, and supporting agriculture, you know, we are responsible for the weather changing.
That's true. Like, the tests I've been on...
Do you believe that, by the way? Do you believe we're responsible?
I think you're responsible for yourself and your own household. You're not responsible for everybody else. You can't be going out telling people what to do.
No.
You know, why should we be telling people what to do? Like, I remember years ago being on a protest about, the end of poverty. The same people leading it are on huge pensions today.
Well, isn't that always the case in politics? It's do as we say, not as we do. Sure, only last week, you know, I mean, well, actually this week, Eamon Ryan is actually in Brazil at the moment. You know, and Brazil, by the way, is the one country that will benefit from the fact that Irish farmers will be culling their cattle, because the Brazilians will now be having more cows in the field so they can export the meat to Ireland.
Yeah, I don't like the word activist. I think you do what you have to do, not because you want to be known as, this great activist or something like that. You do it because it's the right thing to do. And like this, I think this climate change thing is going to end up in a kind of a fascism that they'll take over and tell people what to be doing from the top down.
You are right, Nuala. It is a fascism. There's no doubt about that. Stay there, actually, for a second, Nuala, because one person would know better about that to some degree is Jackie Flannery, who's a spokesperson for Irish Rural Association, obviously not in favour of this idea, and believe, like Michael Fitzmaurice, it's indoctrination. Jackie, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall, today? You're having plenty of fun there, and I'm enjoying listening to people's comments, because you asked one question about what this is all about, and in actual fact, it's like the start of a youth wing of the NGO groups. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
It's reading the 35-page document. I've only literally started it late last night. You know, and it seems to be that it is very, very imbalanced. It is indoctrination. And it is, in fact, if we're going to have a situation where we're looking at a draft leaving certificate, climate action and sustainability development specification, then let's have it balanced. Let's have both sides of the stories. And
but you know as well as I do that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well,
because they believe that they believe there's only one side of the story. Sure, even that guy, what's his name, John Gibbons, the activist, the climate activist and journalist. Sure, he has been on Twitter so many times and on social media and on media saying that anybody with a view like yours or a view like mine should not be allowed to get or given a platform.
Niall, he said the same thing to me when I appeared in RT, and he got a mouthful back. He got a mouthful back from Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice the other day. And that's what we've got to do, the people that are in positions, be they voluntary, be they activists, whatever they are. I mean, that's a very, very serious document. You know, when you're talking about people, power and place, when you're talking about, for example, organized action, it's all an agenda. It's all, you know, about indoctrinating young people. I mean, a lot of this stuff does actually come up through geography, through history, through economics. Mm-hmm. But the whole climate agenda, this is what it's all about, you know, and why has it to be an activist for climate agenda? Why can't it be an activist for something else? And if they're going to bring in climate agenda and climate sustainability development, well, let's bring in an agenda maybe to tell people and show children and show young people how to grow our own food and be sustainable in that fact going down the road. That maybe should be an agenda that should be on a curriculum. You know, there's a lot of stuff here that
but you know what, I wouldn't mind. You know, if you were teaching kids about climate change in school and saying, okay, so you have the teacher saying to you, okay, here's one theory, and one theory is that human beings are responsible and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and here's another theory by other scientists that maybe we're not so responsible after all. And maybe this is a cyclical thing that happens every 800 years. So that's the way I would view education, that it makes children critically think. But that's not what we're doing. We're telling them this is one view. That's the only view. And if you think we're not doing enough about that view and your government is not doing enough to get you to net zero by 2050, which is a fantasy, by the way, well, what you should do is get out there in the streets and throw paint over people. I mean, that's essentially what we're telling them, isn't it?
Niall, I'm a former, and I think I said it to you before, I'm a former student union president in Athlone years and years ago. Nobody taught me how to go out there and be an activist, and whether I took radical action on behalf of our students or whether I sat down with the pen and negotiated with people. Certainly, throwing paint over a picture or something is not going to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. We have to take ownership of our own action. But this document is completely diktat. It's completely indoctrinating our young people. Now, if you take it one step further, you have many, many youth organisations throughout Ireland that actually are informing young people on the whole climate agenda and on the environmental agenda, and they're taking it that way. Now, if you look at the way both of those are being worked upon, what we're actually looking at here has serious wording in it, which would actually worry me from a point of view of coming from rural Ireland, and would worry me from somebody that's still involved in youth work, that it really is putting pressure on our young people to come out in a different way. And it's wrong. It's very, very wrong. And whoever put the wording on this needs to go back to the drawing board. And whoever has the power to deal with this document really needs to be strong. And certainly from the perspective of Irish Rural Association, we are totally against part of the wording in relation to this. Yes, there is bits in it that's natural, that comes through the educational system, but there's a lot of stuff there that is one-sided, totally imbalanced, and it is a diktat, and it is indoctrination. And it's serious for a democracy in Ireland, and being able to speak up, have your say, and look at everything in a balanced way.
Well, I mean, speaking of being a diktat and you saying have your say, the consultation period opened on February the 2nd and it's open till April the 5th if people want to go online, by the way, and voice your views on this. But here's the thing. We've seen this, for example, with the hate speech laws, with other things. You can go online and object all you want. They're not listening anyway, so it doesn't matter. They just ignore your objections.
And if you do that, Niall, the possibility is you will not get an actually acknowledgement for your document that you may submit online. And this is, I suppose, is another area where it's shutting off the ordinary people of Ireland who wish to have their speak and wish to have their say, and get a message across to these people that are being dictated towards us. At the end of the day, we've heard Minister Ryan. We know what the statement he made in or out of the context in 2019. If I had my way and there was a one world domination. I mean,
That in itself is scary enough for the people of Ireland to sit up, smell the coffee and wake up. And as one of your callers spoke there, I think it was John from Cork, he basically said, don't snooze now. And we can't afford to snooze now.
And this is the problem. I think there was a great mood in the nation last Sunday in particular, just after the referendum results came out, when we realised that 70% of the people don't agree with the government. And I think for the government that was a bit of a wake-up call. But now they've gone away. They went to Asia the following day. You know, they headed off to sunnier climes all around the world where people don't even know who they are. As you know, Eamon Ryan went off to Brazil, probably to rub the cows or something like that. I don't know what he's gone over there for. But either way, you know, they will let time pass. They'll be back next week. It'll all have been forgotten about. They'll move into election mode now for June for the local and MEP elections. And people will forget. We get amnesia in this country when it comes to our governments doing things wrong.
We do get amnesia and we do get a fear, but we have to keep, no matter whether it's face-to-face meetings, whether it's emails, whether it's social media, those of us that are in a position like that as lobbyists, as activists, as people that you have mentioned that are in the political sphere, that are actually listening to the grassroots people and their concerns, we are the ones that's going to have to take a little bit of a lead there. And if you want to get out the cattle prod and keep poking at people, keep poking at media. And, you know, for yourself, you are very, very vocal, Niall. You know, you call a spade a spade. And that's very, very important in nowadays, because you have to give the balanced approach. You have to be able to tackle somebody. You have to be able to deal with them and give your experience, but deal with the facts. We're not dealing with facts here. We're dealing with a one-sided document.
Okay. Well, hang on for a second, because I need to go to Sandy and Martin. Stay there with me for a second, Jackie, if you can. Sandy, hi, how are you?
Hi, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Sandy. Sandy, do you object to students of, you know, kind of junior cert, leaving cert age, you know, being taught all about climate change, and if you're not happy with the government action in relation to how to lobby, boycott, get involved in direct action or civil disobedience, do you think that's a good thing to educate children around?
I think I totally disagree with it, because I'm not being smart with it. They should not be allowed to bring politics into the educational
the curriculum. But I mean, they do anyway. They do teach them politics. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's shouldn't to be honest at all. Like, I'm not being smart. In this day and age, telling them to go out and protest, you're not going to get a second job out of it. You're not going to get a job out of it. And just stick to the old curriculum.
Curriculum, It's not an easy one to get out. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but no, politics should not be brought into it, because, you know, like I said, tell them to go out and protest, you know, the teacher should have their own private matter away from the educational curriculum, is the word. But, you know,
yeah.
Do you know where I'm coming from? Sorry, I'm just going to hurry this morning, because you're not going to believe this when I tell you. Athlone and Cavan today are the only towns in the Republic of Ireland that have their parade on today.
Why is the parade on today and not yesterday?
I'll tell you why. It's because of Moat and Clara down in the Midlands had their parade on that day, and they didn't...
The clash.
And this has been going on for 4 years, and everyone in social media is giving out hell about, and I want to get on to this committee to start the whole thing second out.
Yeah, but it should really be a bad day. But I do know a lot of the American bands that come over play in some of the parades around the country on the following day. Yeah.
And the new thing now is, sorry, Niall, I know you're sticking to the same subject, but we have the Athlone Army Band on today, and they have to do a silent curfew going through the town, because, you know, the children that have problems with their ears and everything, it's understandable, so it'll be a very quiet parade, basically.
What? Hold on a second. The Army Band...
The Army Band will not be allowed to play music in a certain part of the town, because there will be children around there that will have trouble with their ears, basically.
And those children, do they live? Is it because they live there, or are they just going to be there?
They're going to be there.
Why? They did this in Dublin yesterday. They had like an area for people who wanted to be in a peaceful place, right? It was like this kind of virtuous thing, right? No harm to the children, and God love them and everything else. Why would you bring a child to a parade where there's bands playing if they have problems with their ears?
I know, right. We have.
I'm not being smart, like, and I understand some people, some children have, you know, auditory problems and they have sensory problems. I get that. But why would you bring them to that environment?
Exactly. Now, it's going to be in a certain area called Mardyke Street in Athlone. It's in the centre of town. Where they won't be allowed to play the music. But they can play the music in a different part of the town.
Can they play
town.
It quietly? Like...
Quietly, yes.
I shouldn't make fun of it. But I just think that's ridiculous. Sorry, we've gone off on a tangent and unfortunately I don't have a huge amount of time, Sandy. And I know you're in a rush too. I appreciate you coming on the air. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. I'm well. Thank you very much.
I ventured off the topic and I've only got about 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes left. I have to go to David as well. And Jackie, stay with me. Martin, very quickly, do you think this is a good idea? Sorry for rushing everybody now.
No, I don't. Mm. If I were in a position where I had children young enough to be going to school, I want them educated, not indoctrinated.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
Now, well, Martin, I could argue with you and say that you're a religious man, you're a Christian.
You could, but you'd lose the argument.
And say that we've been indoctrinating children into religion for years.
Oh yes, we have. We've been in the children are being indoctrinated for years, and I've explained to you, Niall, in the past that I am not in favour. Yes, I profess Christianity. I try to be a Christian. I'm not in favour of teaching religion in schools. I think that should remain in the home.
Okay.
My point is, not only our children, but we as adults are being indoctrinated. I mean, even on the station on which. You know, I listen to at night.
Mm.
There are ads which I've heard encouraging people, particularly younger people, to get the HPV
yep.
vaccine.
Yep.
And it details, yes, it will. You know, it will help protect against against cancers and things like that. You know, but there's never ever a suggestion that maybe the best thing to do. Is, not put it out there to be monogamous because that's the best way to do it.
But they're paid ads by the Irish Cancer Society.
Yes, of course. I understand. I understand the station is a commercial station. I absolutely accept that. I understand that.
There'll be ads there for betting. Doesn't mean you have to go and bet.
Yes, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that the people in the background, the NGOs, the government, the whole lot, they push an agenda. And the agenda here is to strip people of our rights, our dignity, and our ability to live. And at the same time, as has already been mentioned, you have China, you have Brazil, you have everywhere else, where things are being done which, if you fall on the side of believing that we are responsible for climate change, which I don't,
mm-hmm.
we may influence it slightly, but are we responsible for all kinds of things? No, because I've looked at the history. We've had this conversation before about the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere at the moment.
Yep.
Is 0.04%. At one time, it was 2%. It's...
No, I know. I get all that. But so, do you think the children will be given a balanced view of the climate crisis, as they call it, which is an engineered word, by the way?
No,
climate
no.
change. You don't?
No, I don't. No, we don't, because they're not being given it.
So children will be told human beings are evil, farmers are evil, you know, people who raise cows are evil, anybody who eats meat is evil. You believe they'd be told that?
Well, they're already being told that. I mean, it's in social media, it's in mainstream printed media, it's everywhere. This is just an extension of that.
And I believe, by the way, when it comes to climate change, currently at the moment, with the policies that are being implemented at the moment, I think rural Ireland is suffering more than anybody else. Because obviously we've been told we can't burn peat and all that kind of nonsense anymore. So, I mean, and by the way, we can't burn peat, but we're importing it from other countries, which is bizarre.
Yeah. So it has to be dug out and then transported here and then burnt here.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. When are people in this country going to wake up? The likes of Eamon Ryan, Varadkar, Martin, the whole lot of them. Beta male gobshites, in my opinion. Pardon the expression, but I'm getting so annoyed, so frustrated listening to rubbish.
And see, what bothers me sometimes is when people go to elections and they say, okay, I don't like Fine Gael, but there is that one fella in Fine Gael. He's a lovely guy now. I spoke to him. Unfortunately, he's no use to you. He's with Fine Gael, he's with Fianna Fáil, he's with Sinn Féin or whoever. So they have to toe the line. So they're no use to you. So you've got to look at the party policies. It's whatever the party policy is, that's it, because otherwise they lose the whip. And they're not, yep. It doesn't matter how nice they are to you, what they say to you on the side or at your front door, it means it's worthless.
Exactly. Beta males, even the women that are in those parties are beta women. If they have an opinion of their own, if they think something is right, stand up for it. And if the party whip falls against you,
move.
So be it.
Move party. Simple exactly. as that. Thank you, Martin. Sorry, I'm running out of time. David, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall? How are you?
It says on my screen you've named a bike after me. Oh, you did. Oh, that's right. You did. I remember you did name a bike after me. That's right. On your app for renting bikes in Dublin. That's right. You did name a bike after me. Why does it still say that on my screen? It must be down in the history there. Anyway, so, sorry, David. Do you think it's important that we teach children about climate change, activism, you know, how to set up protests, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, well, look, the problem here, and I worked in the world that I did work in there for a good few years. I mean, to some degree, I had went a little bit wokey, let's say.
Yeah, it's skin in the game. Yeah, you did.
I worked a lot with the Green Movement and various Green councillors and everything, you know. And over time, the penny began to drop with me. The entire Green Movement, it's nothing to do with Green and saving the planet and all this nonsense. It's a tyrannical movement. It's tyranny, and it's turned into a cult now on steroids. Critical thinking is no longer allowed, encouraged. You're not allowed to ask a question. And everything on the movement, to be honest with you, comes back to the exact same thing. It's all about tyranny, whether it's the climate nonsense, whether it's gender ideology, critical race theory. I mean, that's a new one that came in the last 6 or 9 months into the Dáil in Ireland. And we haven't yet discovered how to deal with it.
White privilege is the latest one as well. White privilege, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, the white privilege nonsense. Yeah. And now, of course, the ridiculous immigration agenda. You can't question any of it. You're called everything from racist, bigot, transphobe, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, in this space, then, it's the climate denier. There's no such thing as the science being settled. But what does that mean, that phrase, the science is settled? What's the problem with questioning science, even if it's something from 100 years ago? Why it should be robustly able to stand on its own 2 feet forever if it's sunk in science. Do you know what I mean? So the fact that you can't question any of these things is where you need to begin to ask, is this tyranny? And ultimately, and Jordan Peterson talks about this very, very well. Teaching through fear is not teaching. If fear is needed to lead us, it's not leading, it's tyranny. And it's, as I say, Jordan Peterson makes an excellent point on this. If it's true, let's take for a moment that it's true that the world is going to be underwater in 20 years' time, which of course we all know it's not.
That's
but let's pretend for a moment it is, right? The one set of people you don't want you driving you and leading you into an apocalypse are people that believe that the apocalypse is going to beat you. You need leaders that believe they know how to win the fight if you're going into a fight. And that's exactly why it triggered with me going around the country, working with all these green councillors and all, most of them who don't cycle, most of them who don't know anything about cycling, but they get the photo taken with you when I was launching a bike scheme or anything like that. And the whole thing, the penny dropped with me then. That the whole thing is a tyrannical movement.
You know what? I think you're right, David. I'm sorry to cut you a little bit short. I think you're right. It's turned into a religious movement. And you are right. It's a cult. The whole climate change and climate crisis has become a cult. The word climate crisis, obviously, was invented by social justice warriors. There is no crisis. It's not an urgency. But the world isn't going to end tomorrow. We've established already that Greta Thunberg was wrong about everything she said 5 years ago. That's why she's removing all her own tweets now. It's just like the men, the women that walked around with sandwich boards on them many, many years ago and said, the world was going to end or the end of the world was nigh. It just didn't happen. David, listen, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate it. And I'm not a climate denier, by the way. Before anybody starts thinking I am, I'm not a climate denier. Of course, the climate's changing. I just don't personally believe that we're having any influence on it. That's just my opinion on it. If you have a different opinion, you're quite welcome to it as well. Some of the messages that come in, Stephen Brown says, when they grow up, they can protest against climate change while living in a tent on the streets as every house, apartment, and modular home has been given to foreigners. Now, We're coming to that now. See, we'll be talking about that in a minute. But first, can I just mention as well, thank you to everybody who got involved in our first topic today. Don't forget, this podcast will be available and it'll be up online in about an hour and a half. Please do support the show. We have no other way of funding this show. It costs thousands and thousands every single month to put this show out on the air every day, including equipment, electricity, internet, hosting, all that, lights, everything. It costs a lot of money. And the three of us don't get paid for doing it. We get nothing. Oh, pardon me. Sorry. Excuse me. So all I ask you to do is please support us. Please do support us. Go on to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. And you can subscribe or you can donate there, a fiver to 500. Doesn't matter what you want to donate. You can donate 5 million if you like. But if you want to just throw a fiver in, into the kitty to buy us a pint of beer between us or a cup of coffee between us, we'd really, really appreciate it. Go to nileboylan.com. Every little bit helps us to continue to put the programme on the air every single day. Remember, it's Ireland's only fully interactive live podcast, and it's on every single day. You can listen to it on Facebook and Twitter and all the usual places, and you can go to our website as well, by the way. You can listen live on the website. We're encouraging people to do that, and I'll explain next week why. But we really want you to listen live on the website, nileboylan.com. So please do it.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.